praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under his wings, yes, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been ordained?
Hello, and welcome to Molly's Message, a half hour of music, and this time some of my thoughts on the Good Shepherd. I'm Molly Dethridge, the minister of the Presbyterian churches of Ballinagh, Ballymote, and Killala. When I was in Germany, I was surprised by the layout of the countryside. I don't know if you have been there or not and traveled around, but people live in towns and villages. They are not scattered out living on their farms. The farmers live in villages, have their barns and sheds in the villages, keep their machinery there. They drive their tractors out to their fields and then back again. They often keep their animals in the village, too, and feeding time can be noisy as the pigs squeal for their supper and cows bang around trying to get to the feeding stations. No, Germans don't generally have homes dotted on farmland throughout the countryside or along the hillsides in holiday destinations. They are mostly neatly organized in towns and cities. The reason they live like that, I was told, goes back far into history. The Germans generally worked for large landowners, a duke or earl or prince, and lived on or around his estate, similar perhaps to many folks here. At the same time, Germany is right in the middle of Europe, and any marauding army on its way through to anywhere else, think of Napoleon on the way to Russia, had to go through Germany. And also the French and the Germans in years gone by fought over territory. And then there was the 30 Years' War, Northern Europeans against Southern Europeans, much of it on German soil. So no one wanted to live in a vulnerable spot out in the countryside. They tucked themselves away together in villages and towns with a wall built around them for safety. And in Jesus' day, in Israel, it was much the same. People lived in towns and villages with walls around them because it was dangerous out there in the countryside, and the shepherds generally had one large enclosure to keep all the sheep from their town safe at night, and they hired a gatekeeper for security. The shepherds all came in the morning, called their sheep, who came running and gathered to them, and they went out for the day. There was a man I heard of who traveled frequently in the Middle East, who said that the driver of his jeep often stopped at a well for a break during the day. And while they were there, several shepherds would come by with their flocks to give them a drink, to have a rest, and to exchange some gossip. When it was time to go, this man said to his astonishment, each shepherd would simply call out to his sheep, and they would come to him, and away he'd go. He knew them all, and they knew his voice. There was no confusion, no one's sheep ended up with someone else, and no sheep was left behind. Jesus used this picture to speak of himself and those who believe in him. There's a large enclosure with a lot of sheep in it, sleeping, milling around, waiting, doing whatever sheep do. And Jesus walks up to the gate and calls to his sheep in that whole large group. This is a kind of parable. Jesus calls to his people. They recognize his voice, know and trust him, and they go with him. They follow him. It's a picture of discipleship. Here's a song that uses the picture of us as sheep in God's hand, taken from the Psalms called "Come Let Us Worship and Bow Down."
Thank you. worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
Jesus says that He calls each of His sheep by name, each one. When I hear that, something in me stirs. I want Him to call me by name. I want to hear His voice calling to me personally. Don't you? He knows us each so well. Our name is engraved on His hand. He has known us since before our birth, has watched over us all our lives, has always been there for us. Whether we were aware of Him, called out to Him, believed in Him, or ever reached out to Him, He was there. When I was growing up, I was the only Molly I knew. So whenever someone yelled out, "Molly," I knew they were looking for me, and so I responded. Then, as a teenager, I went to a conference, and there was another lady there named Molly. She was one of the leaders, and people were looking for her all the time. And I got used to filtering out the voices I didn't know and responding only to the voices I knew. That's the picture. Jesus says, "I call my sheep by name, and they come to me. They don't know the voice of the stranger, so they run from him. But they know me and know my voice, so they respond." And it's good to stop there for a moment and just ask ourselves if that is true for us. Do we recognize the voice of Jesus in our lives? Do we hear God speaking to us? I actually think many of you probably know the voice of God better than you think you do. There are times you haven't known what to do, and you prayed, and suddenly the understanding came. There are times when you've known that the way you were traveling was all wrong, and so you chose to go a different way, the right way. There were times when someone said something to you, and little red lights flashed in your mind. You knew what they were saying. Well, it just wasn't true or wasn't right. All those things are examples of hearing His voice. But I think we can all grow better at it, and would suggest that we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to discern the voice of God. So we come when He calls and we do what He says. Mark Edwards and Stuart Townend wrote a song called "The Paths of Grace, the Diary of an Agnostic," that tells of one man's discovery that Jesus has been there all along, calling him.
How a rational man could admit to this, but somewhere inside there's a visceral cry for something more than this. So is it a stone or a beating heart? Is it all a canvas or work of art? A hunger for meaning that's more. Song with a great orchestrator who says, "I belong." At the side of the road, Reply sounded next to me. He was here all along, through the rain and the sun, watching over me. And I'm learning to walk in the paths of grace. It's not where you are, it's the way you face. The past is behind, and the future is safe in His hands.
I got to thinking about this, relationship between us and God and the parallels of sheep and shepherds. I think in Jesus' day, there were lots and lots of sheep. They were the most common kind of livestock. So he comes back to this parallel over and over, filling his sermons with illustrations from sheep. So I was thinking about how hard so many of us try to be good, how hard we try to be right, how hard we try to be acceptable to God. And I got to thinking about sheep. I know folks who have sheep, and none of them have ever told me they make their sheep try really hard to be good sheep. It's a ridiculous idea, isn't it? Can't you just see this little sheep running up to the shepherd, tears in his eyes? Oh, shepherd, I haven't been a very good sheep today. I wandered further than the other sheep. I ate too much grass. I slept too long after lunch, and I bleated too loudly when I was thirsty. Please don't throw me out. Please keep me as one of your sheep. Oh, dear, what a crazy picture. The whole parable here says that the sheep belong to the shepherd because they belong to the shepherd. He knows them, and they know him. They don't have to try hard to belong. They don't have to try hard to produce more wool. They don't have to try hard to be smarter. They don't have to worry that he'll get angry and throw them out to the wolves. They are his, and he is theirs. He knows them, speaks to them, and they follow him. As long as we know him and are learning to listen to him and responding when he speaks and following him, well, we're in his flock and he takes care of us. We don't have to try to be perfect sheep. We belong. I just got a hold of a new CD, and this song, Good Shepherd of My Soul, is on it, featuring Ruth Notman.
Good Shepherd of my soul, come dwell within me. Take all I am and mold your likeness in me. Before the cross of Christ, this is my sacrifice, a life laid down and ready to follow. Follow.
thistles grow and courts ensnare me. Though doubted and denied, he never leaves my side, but lifts my head and calls me to follow.
Jesus says he's the good shepherd. He contrasts himself to other kinds of people working with sheep, many of whom represent some kind of threat. You might think of a rustler who wants to take a few sheep for himself. Or maybe there's a wolf there to snack on a vulnerable lamb. There are shepherds who are in it for the money, who may be neglectful and abusive to their sheep. And Jesus says that he, Jesus, is the good shepherd. That has to do with character, and the character as he relates to us. Jesus says these other types, whether they're thieves, wolves, or hired men, none of them are really good or trustworthy. They do not have the sheep's best interests at heart. He's the only one who is good. To underline that, Jesus says that he is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. They are that important to him. Now, I'm sure that those of you who have livestock would say that's going a bit too far, although you have certainly invested a good deal of your lives in your animals. But Jesus is stating that he values us so highly that he's willing to give everything for us. And he did. His character is solid gold, and he is absolutely trustworthy. That makes him the perfect shepherd. So we follow him. We hear his voice and we follow him. He takes us out of the confines of the compound, out into those green pastures of the 23rd Psalm. He takes us to a place of nourishment for our souls, a place of refreshing and recharging, a place where we have enough. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll lack nothing. Not only is this a place of plenty, it is also a place of safety. We are with God, and he is with us. There's a real security that comes from knowing that you are exactly where God wants you to be, and that he's with you. When the world assails us, when we're in terrible stress and turmoil, when we're threatened by forces we have no control over at all, God is there to protect us, to strengthen us, to help us through. When we say that we're in a place of safety when we're in God, it doesn't mean that it's dull and boring. No, following Jesus is a great challenge to us and a great adventure. He takes us to pastures where we've never been before. He has us relating to people we'd have never even noticed before. And he has us doing things that stretch us beyond what we ever thought possible. And through that, we grow. Our personalities grow as we attempt new things. Our character grows as God uses us to bless others. There are so many versions of the 23rd Psalm that are set to music that we could probably fill an hour's program with them. But we're going to hear Stuart Townend's modern classic, The Lord's My Shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His pure delights, and I will trust in You alone, and I will trust in You alone. For Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. For You are with me, and Your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in You alone. And I will trust in You alone. For Your mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. And I will trust, and I will trust in You. And I will trust in You. Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
For Your endless mercy.
For Your endless mercy.
And when we follow Jesus, we have freedom. You may think I'm wrong on that. I think a lot of people think of Christianity as restrictive. But Jesus says that His sheep come and go from the compound. There's a freedom in belonging to Him. It has to do with those wide open spaces of God's grace. It is abundant life. He wants us to know freedom rather than being bound up in sin and old destructive habits. Paul says, He set us free so we could be free. When I hear that, I just think, isn't that great? He set us free so we can be free. When we're following our Lord, we're listening to Him, learning from Him, and in a constant process of growing. We flourish under His care. He's involved in our lives, and we're involved in His life. We are his sheep, and he knows us well. He loves us, he enjoys us, delights in us, and wants to spend our days with us. He wants to spend eternity with us. That's all we have time for. I'm Molly Deathridge. Join me again another time for Molly's Message.
Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy is